Friends in Christ, I invite you, please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we gather this evening, we first and foremost thank you for this day, all the blessings that you so freely give to us, the blessings of life, the blessings of moisture to water your earth. Lord, we give you thanks for the blessing of Christ. For it's through him alone that we are cleansed. Help us to see that importance of being cleansed by you. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be pleasing to you, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. In 1818, one out of six women who had children died from something that was called childbirth fever. Now, back in the day, a doctor's daily routine, paper stuck to my foot. Back in the day, a doctor's daily routine, it didn't start with visiting his patients. It started in the dissecting room. He started his day in the room where he performed autopsies. And from there, he went to examine the expectant mothers. Back then, the thought of washing your hands never crossed their mind. It's not until Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis came along and began the practice of strict hand washing. Dr. Semmelweis was the first doctor to associate the lack of hand washing with a huge fatality rate. His practice was to wash his hands with a chlorine solution. And after 11 years of being a doctor, he delivered 8,537 babies. Out of delivering all of those babies, he only lost 184 mothers. That's about 1 out of 50. Now, that may not sound the greatest, especially in today's world. But remember, back then, the rate of fatality was 1 out of 6. Now, even though Dr. Semmelweis only lost 1 out of 50, his colleagues laughed at him for his obsession with washing his hands. He argued, and I quote, "Childbirth fever is caused by decomposed material conveyed to a wound. I have shown how it can be prevented. I have proven all that I have said. But while we talk, women are dying. I'm not asking for anything earth-shaking, only that you wash your hands. For God's sake, wash your hands." And even though he proved that washing hands saved lives, virtually no one believed him. Now, fast forward 200 years to today. In literally every public bathroom which one visits, there are signs posted at the sinks or on the doors as you walk out saying employees must wash their hands before returning to work. Now, some signs even tell you and me as a consumer that we should not forget to wash our hands. And not only are we told to wash our hands, many bathrooms have these diagrams, these six-picture diagrams of how we are to properly wash our hands to make sure that they are clean. The purpose of this, the importance of being cleansed, simple. So we don't spread diseases. If hands are washed properly, then diseases aren't spread. If diseases aren't spread, there are less sick people in the world. Like Dr. Semmelweis, Jesus is not asking anything earth-shaking from you or me this evening. John writes in our lesson, "If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We need to wash our hands. We need to confess our sins. We need to admit to God that we have sinned in our thoughts, our words, our deeds. In other words, we need to regularly wash not only our hands, but our souls. We need to wash our souls before God. It's essential. The failure to confess our sins will result in a spiritual infection which will not only hinder our ability in the spiritual journey we find ourselves on as we begin this new season of Lent, but it'll also infect our spiritual journey throughout our life. The spiritual infection of harboring our sins within us, it shows us the severe importance of being cleansed. Outwardly, things may look okay. But inwardly, that's a totally different story. In Psalm 32, we see David harboring sin inside himself. We don't know if this is the same sin which he confesses in Psalm 51, where he realizes that, you know, not only sleeping with Bathsheba was a sin, but that killing her husband to cover up that adultery was also a sin. Either way, whatever the sin is which David is harboring inside of him, it's destroying him. Listen to how he describes it. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. When I was silent, when I didn't confess my sins, when I didn't try to wash out the guilt which is building within my soul, David says, my bones wasted away. In other words, David's in agony over his sin, physical agony. His body is wasting away. Because his body is wasting away and the heavy hand of God is upon him, he keeps reliving this sin within himself. As David continues to relive this sin, he tries everything, with everything in himself, to not give it to God. He tries to keep it tucked away in that dark corner of his heart. David's strength, or as the Hebrew puts it, the juice, the sap, that life-giving moisture inside of him is dried up. As much as he tries to live as if the sin doesn't exist, that unconfessed sin is spiritually and physically infecting him. Whether it be to God directly or to an individual he's sinned against, the only thing left for David to do is confess. The only thing left for David to do is to be cleansed. And therein lies a very important lesson for you and me this evening as we go through this season of Lent. As we journey our way toward the looming dark cross of Good Friday, we need to see that sin is an infectious disease. Actually, sin is a terminal disease, which has no human cure. It's a terminal disease which has sadly infected each and every one of us here. There's nothing we can do about it. We're told in Psalm 51 in verse 5, "For I was born a sinner." Yes, from the very moment my mother conceived me. You know, sin is something we're born with. Sin is something you and I can do nothing about. No matter how many times I wash my hands, no matter how many times I soak myself in an oatmeal bath or take a hot shower, there's no amount of soap, no amount of scrubbing, no amount of water that will cleanse my soul of my sin. No matter how hard I try to live a good and decent life, as each and every one of us here, sadly, there's no distinction. Paul tells us that no one is better than another person, for we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We are in desperate need of cleansing. Thus, John tells us this evening, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, there are some things that we want in life that just aren't meant to be. Growing up, I wanted to be a professional bowler. I even mimicked Pete Weber as much as I could with the glove and the sunglasses. It just, obviously some things aren't meant to be. There's a story of a short, very young boy who wanted so badly to play basketball. Even told his dad that he wanted to be a pro someday. Well, knowing that his son would never make it there, the dad asked the local coach if there was anything he could do to he would recommend to make his son taller. The coach said, well, you might take him down to the museum and put him on that old torture stretch rack. Well, several weeks later, the coach asked this father if putting the boy in the stretch rack helped. He said, well, it didn't make him any taller, but he confessed to several things that I never knew. You and I want to be cleansed. We want so badly to be free of this guilt which this comes with this sin. But sadly, friends, that's not something we can do on our own. There's no stretching machine to make us taller. There's no secret formula to cleanse ourselves. The thing we need to do, the thing which John tells us we need to do, is confess. Confess our sins. Confess our sins to the one who we have sinned against, whether it be our neighbor, someone not physically neighbor, but someone we're an acquaintance with, or whether it's God. Either way, sin needs to be confessed. If it isn't, then like David, the guilt of our sin will eat away at us. It will torment us until we finally get to a point that we can't take it anymore and we just break down. We break down to our knees before the cross of Christ and cry out, for your name's sake, O Lord, forgive me of my iniquity. Forgive me of my sin. It's risky, but I want you to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to imagine with me. You're there at the foot of the cross. You're kneeling in the warm, blood-soaked mud. With sin darkening your heart, with life totally zapped out of you, with a bowed head, you cry out, forgive me, Lord. Please, Lord, forgive me for the sins that I've committed. As you confess those words, as you confess your sins, there in the warm, blood-soaked mud at the foot of the cross, there's a shadow which comes and looms over you. As it looms, you feel a hand gently placed on your shoulder. And then there's the voice saying, friend, your sins are forgiven. With the pierced hand of the living Christ, Jesus helps you up out of the muck and mire of your sin. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness, and he embraces you as a long-lost member of his family. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go ahead and open your eyes. With this cleansing from Jesus, your heart is now totally open to fully accept the love which Jesus has for you. Your heart is open wide to accept the love of Jesus which is found in his life, his death, his resurrection, which is also found in his body and blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. With your heart open wide to receive this love of God, with your heart open wide, you come up to this table and the love of God is poured into you. That love of God which is being poured into you is so abundant. It's more than what you and I can contain within us. So the natural place for this overflowing love, this overflowing cleansing love to go, is out to those around us. As you are made clean by the washing of God, the the likelihood of spreading sinful disease goes down. And as Dr. Semmelweis observed, clean hands do not spread diseases. Hearts cleansed by the saving blood of Jesus, hearts cleansed by God, do not spread sin, but they spread the love which God has for you and all people. Amen.